Hello to all of my Facebook friends and others that are watching these lessons on Tuesdays and Thursdays. If you're watching them live, it's at 3 p.m. on my Facebook page. This is Bill Allen coming to you live from Tyler, Texas and downtown at the West Irwin Church of Christ. If you're watching live on my Facebook page, if not, that's okay. You can watch it later on my page on our West Irwin Church of Christ Facebook page, our West Irwin Live Facebook page, or on our website at westirwin.com. And glad to have you joining along on these studies. We are going through the book of 1 Peter right now. It's a great study. It's very timely, I believe, as our world gets rougher and rougher, it seems, upon those who maintain and seek to live by and even proclaim Christian values and biblical teaching. We sometimes find ourselves at odds with our culture and our community. And if that is the case, then we are very much in line with the world of the first century Christians. In the first century, it was, of course, the Roman Empire. The Jews were in many ways had authority in their area there in modern-day Israel. They were not sympathetic to Christianity at all. They put Jesus to death. They put Stephen, a great preacher, to death in Acts chapter 7 and 8. They put the apostle James to death in Acts chapter 12. And we just see that time and time again as we continue on. And that was the world of the first century. And 1 Peter, as we have seen so far, the residents there of modern-day Israel went out and left their homeland because of that intense persecution. And last week, we looked at the first several verses as we consider the great hope that we have, the living hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, the faith that helps us and shields us during this time that we're in this life waiting to spend eternity with the Lord in His presence, and the joy that we have because of Jesus Christ, not because of our circumstances, not because of our bank accounts or our good looks or our personality or who we are or what we are, but rather because of Jesus Christ. And nothing can take away that joy. And so now we come to 1 Peter 1, verses 13 through 16. And so hello to my friend Tia. Good to see you, sister, listening in. Good to see my wonderful friends Cindy and Eric as well, and so many others I know that listen in, and I appreciate that a great deal. As we consider this continuing through 1 Peter 1, I want to remind you of a few sayings. Have you heard these before? Black lives matter. Blue lives matter. All lives matter. Well, at great personal risk, I wanted to mention those, and they all have some truth to them, don't they? All of those lives do matter. They matter to God, and they should matter to us. Whether you're talking about African Americans or any other ethnic or racial group, whether you're talking about our wonderful law enforcement, police, and sheriffs and other authorities, because we're all made in the image of God. And so therefore, of course, all lives matter from that perspective. And I think all of those sayings like that have some truth to them. But one thing about them is that they can be used, all of them, can be used for selfish purposes. All of a sudden, instead of trying to maintain that the people we're talking about are created in the image of God and therefore have value because of that, we abuse that saying and we seek to use it for our own selfish interests. Well, I want to throw one more in on that. Christian lives matter. How about that? Do you believe that one? Christian lives matter. Well, the truth is, of course they do. Of course they do. Again, just like everyone else who's been created in the image of God has value and matter. That's true. That's true. But when we think about Christian lives, we think about those who are in very dangerous situations, such as the ones we just described a few moments ago in the first century, in the days of the book of 1 Peter. And in our world today, there are people in other countries that are spending their lives in hiding or in fear because of the authorities that will put them to death or put them in prison if their Christian faith becomes known. Yes, that is happening in today's world, even in 2025. Sad to say, that still happens. But I want us also to consider that from a little bit different perspective. Christian lives matter, yes, in the sense of those who perhaps are being persecuted or who are not being treated well. But instead of thinking about our own personal respect and value that others give us, I want us to think of that from a different perspective. Christian lives matter. From the perspective of Christians' lives matter. The lives of Christians matter. How we live our lives matters. I want us to turn that statement away from ourselves and seeking respect or justice for ourselves and talk about something else. Talk about how the lives that we live matter. For example, many have been hurt by Christians that they have been around who seem to have an upper air of superiority about them. And of course that's wrong, and we should never portray that. Perhaps sometimes people have been misunderstood, and others have gotten that impression when they shouldn't have. But Christians should always have an air of humility, not superiority. And it is the idea of holiness. Holiness is that idea of being set apart. It's the word holy, which means sanctified, set apart, having a special purpose. And we get our word saint from that word. As we've said, it's an adjective used as a noun. Holy one would be a good translation. Sanctified is another word. We talk about the sanctity of life, how important and valued that life is. And sanctification is the process by which we become more and more like Christ in our lives. Christian lives matter. Put another way, one of the most important reasons, I believe, and most common, and I've heard this before, it's not original with me, but I've heard that one of the most common reasons why someone would become a Christian is because of another Christian. They see their life and they see their example and they say, well, I think I want what you have. I want to be able to live like you live. And so one of the most common and typical reasons why a person becomes a Christian is because of another Christian. But the sad thing is, perhaps the most common reason why people refuse to become a Christian is the same reason. They've seen another Christian who has lived their life with anything but humility. And rather than being holy, they have portrayed this holier-than-thou attitude. I'm better than you. I have something you don't, and that makes me better than you. Or I live a certain way and you live a different way, and that makes me better than you. It's that holier than thou spirit and attitude that causes some people to fall away from Jesus because of Jesus' followers. And that should never be the case. Christian lives matter. Christians' lives matter. How we live our lives as Christians matters. It matters. It matters in our own salvation, but it also matters in the witness that we portray to others. And so, as Peter is writing to these Christians who have been displaced, we call them resident immigrants, remember? They're living in another land, they're living far away from their homeland. In a place that is foreign to them, around a people that is foreign, around a language that is foreign, around a culture that is foreign. How are they to live? Well, their lives matter. And it's interesting that one of the very first things that Peter addresses in 1 Peter chapter 1 is this idea of holiness. How are you to live? You are to live holy lives. What does that mean? Well, let's read this passage first of all. 1 Peter 1, verses 13 through 16. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. We'll come back to that great quote from the Holiness Code from the book of Leviticus. But let's start with verse 13. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. Remember earlier in chapter 1, he had talked about that hope. That was the very first thing he said after the introduction and blessing. He talked about the living hope that we have because the tomb is empty. And so let's be wide awake. Let's be alert. Let's be have a clear understanding of the times and the situation. And along with that, let's set our hope on the grace that will be brought to us when Jesus Christ returns. Because that hope is a living hope. And now we're shielded by faith until the time that this happens, when Jesus Christ does come. In the meantime, we live with hope. And we live lives of faith. And we live with great joy. He's talked about all three of those in the previous passage. And so verse 14 says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. So that evil desires, that's the term lust, the evil desires and lusts that we have, that our flesh, our carnal nature, pushes on us, that Satan is trying to get us to indulge in. But we are obedient children. We have that living hope. We have that faith that shields us through God's power. We have that joy that the current circumstances cannot take away. And so as obedient children, let's not conform to the evil desires that we used to have. Oh, we may still have some of those desires. Temptation doesn't go away. But temptation and sin are two very different things. We're all tempted by some things, not the same things, but we're all tempted by some things. Some may be tempted to lie. Others may say, I could never tell a lie. I can't see how anyone would tell a lie. Some are tempted by sexual immorality, such as homosexuality. They have feelings and desires for a same-sex relationship. And what Scripture says is that that's sin. But simply because you have those desires, that doesn't mean that you act on them. And that's what Peter is talking about here. As obedient children, do not conform to those evil desires. And work on controlling that spirit. Remember, Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, if anything is right and true and just and noble, think on these things. Well, that's a process. We're learning to do that. And so whatever the evil desires might be, we turn our back on them and turn to Christ. And that's the negative. The negative is conforming to the evil desires, as we'll see from Romans 12 in just a moment, conforming to the pattern and the values of this world. Well, that's the negative. That's saying that negatively. Don't do that. Don't conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But, verse 15, the positive, just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. That's the holiness code. And that comes straight out of the Old Testament, out of Leviticus. Listen to Leviticus 11, verses 44 and 45. I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves. That's similar to our word holy, sanctify, consecrate. Consecrate yourselves and be holy because I am holy. This is God speaking to the people. Do not make yourselves unclean by any creature that moves along the ground. Leviticus 11 is talking about the foods that were okay for the Jews to eat and those that were unclean and not okay. Verse 45, I am the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy because I am holy. It's always built upon a blessing that God has already given us. And we see that in the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, and we see it in a very similar way here in Leviticus 11, verse 45. I am the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt to be your God. That's what God has already done for them. Therefore, be holy, because I am holy. That's the response. Because of the holiness of God, his people should seek to be holy as well. That's the holiness code, and it's spoken again in Leviticus 19, verses 1 and 2. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, 'Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy.'" What's the important thing about this holiness code? Well, it points us to the very nature of God. And as God's people, we are to seek to be like God. And so the Lord says, "I, the Lord your God, am holy. Therefore, you be holy, because I am holy." And so we come back to that passage I mentioned earlier in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, a very similar passage to all of these that we've read already. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy," and he had just spent 11 whole chapters talking to them about the blessing of and the mercy and the grace of God, the salvation and the righteousness of God that is available to us, not because we earn it or deserve it, but because of our faith and trust in him. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." And just like Peter does in 1 Peter 1, he says this. He goes from the negative, from the positive to the negative to the positive. Verse 2, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world." That's a negative. Again, don't conform to the evil desires. "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." That's being made holy. "Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." How does that happen? As we continue to sanctify ourselves, to become more and more like God, to be holy as the Lord our God is holy. We are not to conform to the practices and the desires and the patterns of this world. I love the Phillips translation of Romans 12, verse 2. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. And rather than do that, Romans 12, verse 2 says, "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God." We are called to be holy just as the Lord our God is holy. And so we go back to that passage in 1 Peter 1, and we read it again, verse 13. "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy, because I am holy.'" Not holier than thou. We have a great awareness of our own sinfulness. And we also have a great calling, and that is to read and study God's word, the Bible, the only inspired and authoritative source of God's will that we have, and seek to live by that. We don't do it perfectly, and that's why when we relate to each other, we do that with great humility. We all have sins. We all have desires and temptations. That's true. They're not the same. Also true. And we all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. That too, I'm sorry to say, is true. But what that doesn't do is give us permission to continue in that sin, but rather it calls us to accept the great righteousness of God that is by faith, as Paul says in the book of Romans, to be reminded that we have a living hope, as Peter does in 1 Peter 1, that we are shielded by God's power through our faith until that time comes when Jesus is revealed at his coming, and that we have great joy in doing that. And so We live as obedient children, not conforming to the evil desires we had when we lived in ignorance, as Peter says here. But just as he who called us is holy, we are to be holy in all that we do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." We'll continue on in 1 Peter chapter 1 as the Apostle Peter continues and shares some very important things about who we are as a people forgiven, as a people who have been redeemed. Might even sing that old youth group song from the 70s, "I've Been Redeemed," and how we continue to be purified through the living and imperishable Word of God. And all of this is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. All of this is because of the love of God that God had for us and gave to us and showed to us through the life and death and resurrection of His Son. We can take no pride in ourselves and our holiness. Can't. That's holier than thou. But we do seek in response to the wonderful mercies of God, the way He has blessed us, to live a life in response, a life of holiness. Not so that we can think of ourselves as better than anybody else, as holier than thou, but because our great God has forgiven us, He has saved us, and now we want to live the way He wants us to live. Not the way the world lives, not conforming to the pattern of this world, not letting the world swallow us up and put us into its mold, but to live lives of truth, lives of purity, lives of honesty, lives of humility, lives of holiness. Why? Because Christian lives matter. God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you Thursday.